The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. We are continuing to post sermons from our 2024 annual meeting here at Zion Primitive Baptist Church. In the sermon today, Elder Neil Honey preaches about the way in which churches are to provide for their pastors and preachers. Preachers are compared in the scriptures to oxen. We are told to take care of their material and spiritual needs, much in the way a farmer would take care of the ox that treadeth out the corn. In the first half of this message, which we post today, Brother Honey teaches us about these oxen and compares them to God's called servants who pull the gospel plow. Join us as we begin to learn about some of the things a preacher needs as he tries to fulfill his calling by God. But first, we have a song selection that we hope is edifying and uplifting to you. And after the song, please stay tuned for the message.
I would see Jesus when the flowers of joy adorn my
Father, would I turn 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we'll read in verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, writing to the church of Corinth, Paul also addresses this concept. And I'll hopefully develop this, and you'll see what I mean here momentarily. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. My answer to them that do examine me is this, Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord in Cephas, or I only in Barnabas? Have we not power to forbear working? Now, I realize that the apostles are with the Lord, and those of us who are attempting to labor in the ministry today are not apostles. We're called to fill a role in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul's about to introduce and to explain a little bit more in regards to this concept of taking care of the ox. And that's what I would kind of title this message this afternoon if I could. I probably should have said that at the beginning, but probably bear with me. Brother Buddy said, the days go on, you lose some of your concentration. Who goeth a warfare any time in his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Carnal things meaning just the regular stuff, you know, the things that we all need to get by, to live on. By the way, thank you all so much for the lunch. That was a ministry. We need to eat, and those of us who came here to the meeting today were taken care of by you all, and we appreciate it very much. If others be partake of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. So now, that was a lengthy reading, I understand, but in these two passages of Scripture, we're reading this same theme, again, which was quoted last night. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And Paul seems to be quoting there from Deuteronomy chapter 25, and then over in the 1 Timothy account, maybe also from Deuteronomy chapter 24. I'll read those verses to you. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 4, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. Okay. And then in chapter 24, he says this in verse 14, Thou shalt not oppress an hired hand that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates. At his day thou shalt give him his hire. Neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. So these are some passages of Scripture. And again, as I said, they're quoted from essentially last night in regards to this issue of the ox. Now, let's talk for here in a moment about what an ox actually is. But I think Brother Chris made the point last night that most people wouldn't look at that as being necessarily a compliment to be called an ox. And to understand these scriptural things the best way we can, of course, we have to have the Spirit of God. But I think we also, it behooves us to just try to step back and think about what an ox was to these folks. Because if you think of ox, you're probably just thinking about, you know, a cow out in the pasture or something. But that is not an ox. Now, they're the same species maybe, okay? And they may be the same type of cow. But an ox is a very different creature than, you know, the bull and the herd of cows out in the pasture are, okay? And so here's a few of characteristics that regard an ox. So what is an ox? Let's define what an ox is, or it's hard to make this mean anything to us.
Right.
Okay? So an ox is a cow. Yes, that's true. An ox is a male cow. It's always a male. It's a steer. Now I realize I'm talking to some farmers in this room. Now, so you know more about this than I do. Okay, but let's suffice it to say, in regards to what we're talking about today, an ox is a male cow that has been separated from the herd for a particular purpose. Okay, and he will be trained in that particular role. Now, what is, because for, you know, if you just pass a pasture full of steers out there getting fed up for the market, they don't necessarily look particularly intelligent most of the time. They're usually just laying there, they're just eating some grass, or they're, you know, over there, you know, lowing for more feed or something like this. A steer is a different type of being, almost in a sense. And there are people today who still raise oxen in our country. They kind of do it more for the nostalgia of it. You know, some actually use them as working animals. But here's what I've read. I've never done this now, but if any of you have, I'd love for you to tell me after church what your experience was. But you take a male cow, a steer, you remove it from the herd, okay? You separate it, and you give it constant contact with the person that will be its master and its driver for the rest of its life. Most of the associations today that deal in oxen, okay, in our country, and they have these different associations. Again, a lot of it's done for nostalgia, etc. But for an ox to be marketed as an ox, and we're not talking about a steer that's going to the market to be made into hamburger meat. Okay, but an ox requires 4 years of training to be certified by most of these organizations as an ox. And that it generally consists of day-by-day training by someone who's a master at the art of training an ox. So an ox is not just a cow.
Right.
And the trainers that train oxen will say this, that when you take a cow and you separate him from the herd and you give him constant contact with the master, who will be his master unless he sells him to someone else, okay, that an ox starts to develop a little bit of an intelligence that your normal cow doesn't have. In fact, scientists have studied this. I might be giving you too much information, if I am, pardon me. Okay? But there have been some studies on this. And, you know, the one way that scientists try to gauge animal intelligence is to put an animal in a maze and see how quickly it can get out. An ox can get out about as fast as a pig and as fast as some dogs. It's much more intelligent than your run-of-the-mill cow out in a pasture. And the reason for that, the ox trainers say this, is because they spend time with the ox. They talk to the ox. They're training the ox. So the ox is not just out there following his natural impulses. He's being trained to perform a certain purpose. And the average working lifespan of an ox is about 20 years, maybe less, depending on, you know, how old it is when it's trained. It is almost virtually a universal understanding amongst the people that do this, that the earlier you start training the ox, the easier it is to train the ox. If you get the steer when he's a few years old and try to train him, sometimes it doesn't work out as well, you know. So when Paul is comparing the apostles and then the elders that would come after the apostles that would be ordained and separated for the work of the Lord to an ox, you know, realize that to these folks that meant something.
Yeah.
Now remember, okay, I've shared this with y'all no doubt before. We'll go from a natural history lesson to a history lesson. Please bear with me. This was written in a day, okay, when there are no planes, no railroads, no semi-trucks. Everybody's a farmer,
right,
to some extent, or they have some interest in it, because you can't ship grain a long distance. If you mess up growing the grain right around where you live, you probably starve. Okay, so people were very interested in these subjects, and they all knew what oxen were, because they saw them work in the fields. They saw them hauling carts. They saw them. And so when the scripture says that he that ploweth in hope should expect to also thresh in hope, these people understood that this trained animal called an ox, which is extremely valuable, which are, you know, actually oxen are mentioned in the Ten Commandments. Okay? that this trained oxen that was extremely valuable to them, they understood the purpose, and they also understood that every part of growing the grain, from the very first plowing, okay, to the planting, to the cultivating, and preparing the fields and manuring the fields, and all of that that led up to the point where they're harvesting the grain. And then, many times, they would have the oxen tread on the grain to help to knock it loose from the husks. You know, we think of corn as our version of corn, sweet corn, et cetera, et cetera. Corn here in the Bible is just referring to small grain. You understand another history lesson here, but I want you to be, I realize it's not an amen and lesson too much, but I want you to be biblically literate so people won't trip you up. Okay, I understand that maize, Indian corn, okay, was not available to people in the Middle East until after Columbus came over here and shipped some back, okay? That's not talking about corn like we think of corn. It's talking about wheat, barley, other grains. And once the ox had done all this stuff for these months and had been employed every day in breaking the fields, planting the fields, manuring the fields, you know, helping to haul in that heavy harvest and then tread it, what Paul says is, and what the Old Testament says, is you should have muzzled him.
Right.
He ought to be able to eat some of it. Because if anybody other than the master farmer was responsible for that crop, that oxen walked that field 100 times over. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So then we have to take that and put it into a spiritual context of, well, then how does that apply? Paul is using that to describe not just the apostles, but the elders that would come.
Yeah.
Okay, so think about it. How is a preacher like an ox? Does it mean we're, well, I don't know. I hope not. But does it mean we're like the dumb cow out in the pasture that, you know, won't walk in out of the rain, you know? Remember, that's not an ox, remember? An ox has been trained in a specific way. And oxen were very skilled at pulling heavy burdens. In fact, yoke of oxen can break and pull up to 26,000 pounds dead weight. They're extremely powerful animals. But that power is controlled and it is managed mostly by voice commands and with an occasional tap of a rod by the man or woman who's walking in front of those oxen and sending them in a particular direction. How is a preacher like that? Well, to some extent, and I'm a little nervous preaching all this because I know some of the folks from the church I try to pastor here, I love them, but this is one of those subjects that you kind of rather preach to another church about supporting the ox and all and not preach to your own people because it kind of seems a little self-serving. but I want you to understand, like I said, I want you to have this knowledge if you've never thought about this before. Okay. Let's say that an ox, in the sense of these people's understanding of what an oxen was, and again, like I said, back then, no one would have had to explain this to anybody. They all knew these things. They saw people out training their oxen. They saw them working with their oxen. They saw them hauling in the harvest. Everything involved with that, they would have understood that. Most of them would have been directly involved with it themselves. Okay? So how isn't the preacher, the elder, like the ox? Well, according to the New Testament, the preacher is to be a male. I mean, that's kind of simple, but I mean, it's still true. I mean, and they're separated, okay, from maybe what would be some of their natural tendencies. You know, if the natural tendency of a cow is to just eat for a few hours and go lay up under a tree, okay, that's a natural tendency, but that's not what an ox gets to do.
That's right.
An ox is yoked up in the morning. And that ox may be plowing all day long, may be pulling all day long. That oxen has been trained, it has been developed, it has been designed to pull a heavy load, okay, to do it efficiently, to do it obediently. And if an ox is not trained in that manner, then you have the scenario that we think of as a bull in a china shop, where he's not trained and he just trashes everything and tears everything up. We don't want that. So how's the preacher like an ox? Well, we're talking about a male individual that's been called by the master and has been set aside and then has been under some specific set of training, probably with not just the master, but also maybe with a yoke fellow and walking in those steps, okay? and learning. And part of what that oxen is learning is to bear these heavy burdens, to be obedient, to be efficient, to take the task that's required that day and to just do it, rain, snow, sleet, whatever. Okay. And oxen are like that. They say if you can just give an ox a warm place to stay at night and give him some grain, he can pull all day through the snow, he can pull all day through the heat, and will mostly do it without a lot of complaint. Okay, that's an ox. Now, there's different ways of looking about this, but I think maybe for those of us that feel like we've been called, we ought to think about this.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Amen.
Because, you know, sometimes I maybe in my flesh kind of have the idea that, well, the Lord's called me to do this, but I kind of like to do my own thing sometimes. You know? And I know the Lord has put me under a certain yoke. And I know that he has asked me to pull a certain plow to pull it. And I'm not saying it's a terribly hard labor. I'm just saying it is what it is, what the Lord asks you to do. Some days are harder than others. Some days aren't so bad. And they're all glorious in the Lord's service. But nonetheless, there's some labor there. You know, but here's a clue, and I'd say a direction for those of us that feel that call. Is to not get head up in the middle of the day when we're under the yoke and decide, no, I'm just going to go eat some grass and lay in the shade tree. Is to try to be diligent.
Amen.
In what the Lord has called us to do.
Yeah.
Now, that's not always easy. And some of y'all have done it a lot longer than I have. But that's what we're called to do nonetheless. Okay? And to listen to the voice commands of that master. Because the master usually leading an ox or a yoke of oxen, and McNeil and I were privileged to actually see this in Africa a few years ago, is usually walking beside the oxen. Now, you can ride in a cart and direct them with a stick, but a lot of times they just walk beside them. And they just say, gee-haw, whatever they say, and if the ox doesn't listen, they reach over and pop them on the head. Oxen are trained to be very sensitive. In fact, you would think that a cow wouldn't notice if some, you know, been bit all over by horse flies, but remember, oxen are not run-of-the-mill beef cattle. The ox trainers say that if an ox has one just little crack in his yoke or one little area where it's rough and feels that pressure, that little puncture, that an ox sometimes will just stop in its tracks until the master can adjust that. An ox is to be sensitive. They're to be trained. They're to pull. They're not to shirk. Okay? And this is part of their duty. So to the people in these, what we would think of now as ancient times, they load oxen in a lot different ways than they did. They would think of an ox as we might think of, say, like a modern-day tractor or something, you know. Except that, remember, an ox was a living, breathing, biological creature that required food and water and rest and these other things. You know, the beauty of an ox is it can live off the produce of the farm. The disadvantage of an ox is you can't run him like 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, and think that he'll get a whole lot accomplished. And that's addressed actually in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20. I'll say this also, you know, there are a few places in the scripture where ox is used kind of oxen more generally just to refer to cattle, but in these specific instances, we're talking about a specific animal. Okay. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Because part of the reason for that was, you know, if you had a bigger, better ox than I did, you're probably going to have a more productive farm. Because you're going to have more power. You're going to be able to get things done. If you've got a farm and you've got an ox, and I don't have one, I'm going to be out there doing it by myself with a hoe. And I'm going to be under great burden, but if someone has an ox, they're going to be able to utilize that ox and be much more productive.
Due to the constraints of time, we will stop the message here. But please join us tomorrow for the conclusion of this message. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's ZIONPBC 1847 at gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool at gmail.com. That's the letter J, CHRISMCCOOL at gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.